had taken people away 35 minutes ago. What was the holdup? There was no way she was going to make that meeting now. Everything was ruined. She had enough. She had had enough. And she laid on the horn just so the road crew would know they weren't doing their job. Easily identifiable, isn't it? Today's issue is anger. We all have been angry. And we've probably heard sermons and read the scripture in Ephesians 4:26 that lets us off the hook. Because Ephesians 4:26 says and tells us to be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So you can be angry as long as by the end of the day you're okay. No. No, I think that's wrong. Why talk about this issue anyways? Why lump it together with things like depression or worry or our past and bad memories? The reason is because, beloved, the landscape of anger is vast. And it shows up in so many different situations. And it can be either a subtle, progressive takeover, or it can be a volcanic eruption. But more importantly, because anger, most anger, is sin. There is, however, a struggle inside of us, our understanding of this issue, because the Bible, as we encounter Scripture, it does talk about being angry and being righteous with that anger. And that is a good thing. Anger can be a good thing. It talks about being angry in a good way. God's Word even tells us that God is angry. And if a loving, perfect, almighty God is angry, then we do know that in the way in which he gets angry, anger is good and right and perfect. And it is his loving response to individuals who encounter and are the victims of wicked and evil people. And wicked and evil, period. If God didn't get angry at evil, we would think something was wrong with him. But on the other hand, Satan also gets angry. And we know that whatever he does is ugly and rotten and wrong and destructive. So what is it going to be? How do we wrap our hearts and our minds around this issue of anger? What is it? Well, there are a few items that we ought to clear up first so that we can understand a little bit more about anger and how Scripture engages us so that we might be changed. One of the first things to clear up is that we sometimes think that anger is something inside of us. Anger is something inside of us. It's subtle, but that's completely wrong, beloved. Not because it doesn't come from within us, but because we think it's a thing that's in us. Like a piece of bad lefse that you just can't wait to digest. No, there's no such thing as a bad piece of lefse. That's not, I don't know. Something, we think it's a thing inside of us, like some sort of hot boiling liquid that gets in there and we just kind of pressurize and put it in a cooker and hold it down and then it's got to come out one way or another. But that's not true. It can't be true. Something like that wouldn't need to be repented of. It would need to be removed or eradicated or worked out in another way. But anger is sinful, and we are told to turn towards God and his grace towards us that is in Christ Jesus. When we think that anger is something inside of us, when this misunderstanding creeps in, we turn to other solutions rather than repentance and forgiveness. We don't really deal with it as sins. We work it out another way. Have you ever seen that commercial on TV with that young lady that goes to the gym and she's hitting the heavy bag? And every once in a while, it breaks away and it shows you what her day was. She broke a heel. She got a ticket on her car. A whole bunch of different things happened. You know, the dog ate her homework. I don't know. But she's furious and she's taking it out on. You've never seen that commercial? Okay, some of you have. Okay. I don't have any idea what the commercial is for. But the commercial puts in front of us this idea that the best way for her to work out this thing that's inside of her is by hitting the heavy bag. Okay, I need a volunteer. I need the sweetest possible person in the whole room to come up here to volunteer. Yeah, they're moving. Come on, Peyton. Come. He would hurt me. I need somebody small that's not going to hurt me. Peyton, do you want to volunteer for me or no? Come on, Peyton, I need you. Give me 30 seconds. Give her a hand. Come sit up here. Just for a real quick second. And really, I did pick her. I mean, there are plenty of sweet people here, but she's not going to hurt me. So that is why. I mean, she won't. But we believe, or we have bought into the idea in pop psychology that we just need to work our anger out. So you might be sitting somewhere in a counseling room trying to remember those past things that have made you angry. And I know you never get angry, so this is going to be a stretch for you. You got to be a really good actress today. Okay, you've never been angry, but I want you to imagine a time when you were really, 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 really angry. No, don't say it, Mason. I don't know who. You were really angry, and we're going to bring that up, and we're going to resolve it by working it out, okay? And you do you have that anger? Do you know what you're angry at? Do you? You know what you're angry at? Okay, now I want you to talk to this sponge, like you're angry, like you mean it. Now you saw how I acted with the stuff, right? And I want you to every time you just punch Larry and like I can't believe. Okay, I want you to do that. I'll get really angry and work it out now. Work out all those frustration so your anger goes away. Go ahead, hit it. I don't know. Whatever you want, say. I can't. You're such a jerk. I can't believe you treated me that way. Go ahead.
You're so mean.
I don't deserve it. I'm going to... Okay. Okay. Thank you, Peyton. Very good. Now we laugh. We laugh. But that is really how some counselors want us to work it out. They want us to scream and holler and yell. And, you know, they bring up all the... Your mother hurt you when you were a kid. So just, you know, hit the pillow. Scream into the pillow. Get your primal scream going. And that's how they want us to work out anger, as if it was a thing inside of us. And it's not. It's a sin to be repented of. It's a violation of God's law. Anger is not a thing within us that needs to be surgically removed. It is a sin and ought to be confessed and repented of. So that's one of the items we need to clear up. Another item in our misunderstanding is very similar to something that we've already talked about. And so I would refer you to there in a minute, but it's something that we've already approached with issues and understandings and orientations. The misunderstanding and the thing we need to clear up is that I'm not really angry with anybody else, I'm angry with myself. Because you see, I got a C on that test, and I studied hard, and I wanted a B. And I have this standard that I have to live up to, and I didn't. And so I'm just angry with myself. And I'll work through it. I'll try better next time. But I have this standard, and I didn't meet it. So I'm angry with myself, and I can't forgive myself. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago and where that comes from. How it is we're setting ourselves up as our own judge and jury when we're not. How we're putting standards up for us and trying to live up to those kinds of things when those standards aren't necessarily God's standards and those kinds of things. Where he's not supreme, but we are. And so in effect, when we say, I'm angry at myself for not living up to my standards, we have placed ourselves on the throne where only God should be. So that's a misunderstanding about anger. It's okay to be angry with ourselves because we didn't live up to it. That's not right. If you would like to, I would refer you, not self-servingly, but go and listen to the sermon on forgiveness. So then, where is there a way out? Where's the path? How do we find our way through this issue of anger? Just trying to grab onto those two misunderstandings. Well, an easy place to start, beloved, is to ask ourselves some very simple questions about the situation when anger does show up, and answering them honestly. Now, that's not so easy. I was going to pick you, Emily, by the way, but you would have hurt me, so I just didn't pick you. The first question is, what is the situation? Just because you're angry doesn't mean that you can't look at things kind of accurately and see what's going on. For Mary, what to ask yourself the question, in the traffic, okay, what's the situation? The situation is, I'm angry in the situation. I'm in traffic. It's not moving. There are 15 cars ahead of me until I get started moving. This dummy next to me keeps trying to inch in. Doesn't he know I was in line first? And so we assess. The road crew's not working fast enough. There's no reason for this to be this way. I'm going to be late for my meeting. Where exactly am I as this is happening? Not to create a disconnect, but to look at it. And then ask yourself the question, how am I responding? In this situation that is around me, how am I responding? Well, I'm thinking through all of the excuses I can make for missing the meeting so I can explain why I was late. My stomach hurts now because I'm all worked up. My shoulders are tense because I've gripped this wheel so hard. I've thought and I've said a few nasty things about the road crew. I hurt my hand when I hit the horn. And maybe, beloved, there's even a tinge of guilt because you blame God a little bit for your trouble. Lord, don't you know I've prayed and I've asked you to part the Red Sea of these vehicles and God didn't respond? God didn't make it move any faster. So now you're a little bit angry with him, which, by the way, isn't okay. But that's a sermon for another time. What exactly is my situation? Where exactly am I? And how am I responding? Even in your anger, you know when your stomach hurts. You know you're sweating and you're hungry and you're going to miss the meeting. And here's the kicker. Why am I responding this way? You got to ask yourself, what's the motive that underlies this response? And that's the hard work, because we so easily deceive ourselves when it comes to motive and why we're doing things. Motives are tough. And you'll have to be brutally honest with yourself here. Brutally honest. I want to be at that meeting on time because my reputation is on the line. Well, beloved, that's plain and simple pride if you're worried about your reputation above all else. If I don't get there on time, what will Pastor think of me? Well, plain and simple, that's the fear of man. If you're worried about what somebody else is going to think. And on and on and on motives go. I'll get docked in pay. You're worried about the money. I'll miss my appointment with my doctor and he won't give me the medicine I need to take care of this disease. That's the fear of death. And on it goes. Those are some tough questions. But they get to what anger presents in us. What exactly is my situation? How am I responding? And why am I responding this way? So let's turn the corner. Let's get a little help. Let's get a little progress on the path towards change. Ask yourself the next question. What is true? This question can be implied at any point in the first three questions, but it is probably best suited to deal with question number three, why am I reacting this way? Especially if you discover that your motivations themselves are wrong, whether it's pride or fear of man or lust or greed or any other sin. What is true? Do you believe that God is sovereign and in control? You've heard it here. You've stated it in your own life. I know everything happens for a reason. Well, he is sovereign and in control. And he's in control of that situation. God was not asleep when the car accident happened, 40 minutes ago that is holding you up right now. And the road crew that's lollygagging, in your opinion, isn't outside of his control either. And we kind of even dress this sovereignty thing up by thinking at our times, well, maybe he's saving me from an accident that would have happened if I was down the road 40 minutes ahead of time. That might be true, but that's still focused on your agenda. God is sovereignly in control of this situation as it's happening right now. And you're angry about it. Well, is sovereignty and God being in control, is that going to be just lip service? How about this? Even the guy that just banged your bumper because he crouched up on you, God is sovereignly in control of that too. Just goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? What does God have to say in his sovereignty at this moment? In this given moment, if God is in control, then I know he's up to something good. I might not be able to see it, and it's for his glory. And it's so that I might be further changed to be more like Jesus Christ. Who would get angry with that? I would. What is true? I believe God is sovereign. If you believe God's word is true, then he speaks to such situations. So I invite you, if you close your Bible, to open it back up to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Jesus is in a situation here where he stumped the Sadducees, so the Pharisees come along, and we know historically that they have asked these kinds of questions, especially at this time, about these issues. You know, what's the greatest commandment? What's the one thing that we need? And so whether they ask out of frustration or to trap him, I mean, the Gospels give us that flavor, but the point is they ask him the question. A lawyer, one who was learned in an understanding, tested him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And without blinking, Jesus probably had answered this question over and over and over again, so he had an answer that he would give. The greatest commandment shines all kinds of light into every situation in our lives. The implications of just these two commandments can be worked through the daily fabric of our lives, even when we get angry. Especially when we get angry. How's that? Well, the greatest commandment immediately hits us right where we live, right between the eyes, right in the middle of our hearts, beloved. The greatest commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." What exactly am I loving more than God at this moment that I'm getting angry? I loved my schedule more. I loved my reputation more. I loved my way more. I loved human approval more. I loved money more. You fill in whatever the blank is. But this commandment hits our anger directly in the center. Between good and evil. The road between good and evil runs through the human heart. I stole that. That's not original. That's what the greatest commandment does. And the second commandment tackles it from the other side of things. Of how we're responding towards the road crew, towards the people who we are trying to meet, and so on it goes. The response of the flesh are laid bare when we look at Scripture and the greatest of the commandments. We are confronted with loving our neighbor as we already do ourselves. And we're convicted by these two things in moments of anger and other moments. What is true? God is sovereign, and his word is true. And we are commanded to love God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, all of our being, all of our everything, and love our neighbor as ourselves. But these passages aren't only there to convict us and correct us and show us the motives of our hearts in anger and what needs to be altered, but they do show us the way to change. They shine a light. They bring us in a positive direction for change. Commandment number one tells me to love, trust, and turn to God. It not only shows me when I'm not, it tells me what I should and how it is that I turn to Him. He will be my source. I can trust Him. Even if I miss the doctor's appointment, even if I miss the meeting, even whatever it is, even if my kids never obey, whatever it is that's making me angry at this moment, I can turn to God and love Him supremely. He will provide for me in this situation, right here, right now. He'll make everybody not notice the clutter up on the stage. He is my source. When we love Him, as the greatest commandment calls us to, and turn to Him, it begins to change question number one and question number two. The second commandment positively tells me to look outside of myself towards others. Okay, there are 50 other people in this car jam, and they're all waiting to get somewhere. Maybe I really shouldn't be right on this guy's bumper. God, give me the strength to actually let this guy merge who's trying to creep in. See how simple that is? That's the second greatest commandment. Love somebody else the way you already love yourself. And then Jesus says something completely amazing. He says, upon these two commandments, the whole law depends. They hang together. Beloved, you and I can't love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and not love other people, because He does. And we will not have the ability to love other people without loving God supremely. You can't have one without the other. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. They go great together. These two sides of Scripture meet in Jesus. We cannot do any of the other commands in Scripture, be angry and do not sin, unless these two are in place. That's why the whole law depends on them. And at the feet of Jesus, we come to the conviction of our sins, because He is perfect and holy and just, and every time He was angry, it was good. And we know His motives and His responses were pure, and we know that ours are not. And so the greatest commandment convicts us, and it shows us a positive way. Jesus forgives our sin. As I repent and confess, and when I trust God, He provides the strength and the power to change. To change me. And that's real change. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we know that the landscape of anger is vast. Typical responses to situations is to bottle it up and then explode somewhere, to let it out, to vent. But that's treating it in a way that isn't godly. It doesn't need to be repented of that way. So, Lord, I pray that we would repent of our sin and that we would love You supremely and love those around us. We thank You for Your word that encourages us to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In His name we pray. Amen.